Well, welcome everyone to this episode of the Grovecast. This is Pastor Barry, and today I'm joined by a young couple that we've known for a couple of years now, Bobby and Rand Lawson. And Bobby and Rand have actually been on a podcast several years ago. They were trying to tell me it was only 2 or 3 years ago, but I think we decided, no, it was a little longer than that. But I'm excited about them sharing kind of in our we've done a few podcasts and some more are coming as far as related to missions within the church and getting an opportunity to visit with some of our folks that have had some mission opportunities and have a heart for missions. Yes. And so Bobby and Ran, I appreciate you guys spending the time with me here for a few minutes. And we've got a lot to talk about. I don't know if we'll get it all talked out or not, but we'll do what we can. Okay. Now, a lot of our people know you. There's one of the couples I've had are newer to the church, and so a lot of people maybe won't know their faces and stuff till I get a chance to introduce them. But a lot of people have seen you guys up front a time or two, and we've introduced because, one, you've been coming to church here how long now?
We just decided it was probably 10 years.
About 10 years. Okay. So you've been around.
We have.
Been around.
A little bit.
And so during all this time that we've known you, your focus has been jail ministry. You're the people that spend a lot of time in jail.
Yes, we have.
And prison.
Just never could seem to get out of prison. But that was a huge, I don't even know if huge part's the right word. It was your ministry. It was your calling. Mm-hmm. It was what God was using you to do some amazing things. And then COVID happened. Okay, so just share a little bit about, okay, so what happened? What were your feelings? What were some of the struggles that you were dealing with when that all began?
Well, there's a timeline to what God has done there. First of all, my hip surgery came into play. Mm-hmm. And right after, the week after my hip surgery, everything shut down. It was in March of 2020, and that shut down prisons, jails, churches, it just shut us down. So with that time, being able to recover in surgery, I had to look and ask and pray, where is it, God, that we need to serve, that Ran and I need to serve? And I'll take that to Ran, as he's the one that knew way before Bob did that it was God had called him to a different direction.
I remember the day years ago that I had pulled into the driveway from work. We spent the day mowing yards, praying. We would stop at a yard to mow, and we would decide the subject we were going to pray about while we were in that yard, or the person we needed to pray about while we were mowing that yard. And so with that, relationships started forming with God, and it was an incredible time. I remember the day I pulled into the driveway and I stopped at the end of the driveway and I looked at Bob and I said, there's more to it than this. God just really laid that on my heart. There's more than this. And then we did a series of growing. One of those growing spurts was to go to Gulfport, Mississippi for Hurricane Katrina. And we served there for a week. And that felt very right to me. It felt very satisfying. So that was really the start of her and I doing missions, and we felt very strongly about outside the church. Just, you know, we need to leave the church. We've been in church for 17 years.
Yes.
We've done studies.
Bible
so
studies.
How many studies do you do before you go serve God? And so that was instilled.
Can you say that again?
So, you know, and I don't want to, but there was a church play that I was involved in, and one of the lines that I had is who will go and who can I send? And it's like, send me. So, you know, I don't want to say that I'm that obedient, but when God lays something that on like that on your heart, then you answer that. You know, are you going to or are you not? And over a series of events in our life, we felt like outside the church is where God was calling us.
So our first mission trip, it was 2005 with Katrina, and we served with Samaritan's Purse. And when I got down and saw the disaster, the church walls were blown out. And that's when God laid on my heart that it's time to blow out the church walls. Mm-hmm. And it's time for you to go and serve and tell people who I am and what I've done for you. I didn't know construction-wise that they are built to blow out, so that part of the building can stay standing and you can start with the foundation and build
up. Called hurricane walls.
They blow out.
They blow out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Building. Another thing that happened was a gentleman named Mel Leverage, and he was our mentor. He's the one that brought us in and started us in Bible studies, the Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he looked at us and said, okay, you're trained up. It's time for you to go. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know go where, but mm-hmm. I think he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew that we needed to go and use what God had trained us to do. And my ministry, while she was in jail, in prison, I went with her to prison.
And just to clarify to people who don't know, okay, Bobby was not serving a sentence in jail. She was ministering in jail.
I was.
Okay, because that did sound a little interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
It's hard to put, but if you put service work, I've done over 7 years.
Yeah.
In prison.
In prison.
In jail.
Over 7 years.
Over seven years. If you do hour for hour,
right.
7 years.
Interesting.
Inside.
Right. Interesting on a couple of levels. One, that you've taken the time to calculate that.
And that's been years ago that I did that.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, yeah. Sorry, though, I interrupted.
That's okay. So my ministry at the time, along with supporting her and where God was calling her to go, was cooking for Celebrate Recovery. They served a meal every Monday night, so I would cook the main course of the meal, and at one point we were feeding 120 people. And so I would do that, along with jail and prison being shut down, so with Celebrate Recovery meetings, especially the food service part. Mm-hmm. So we were both without a ministry.
We were
all of
in
a
the
sudden.
Wandering,
mm-hmm. right?
And we started praying together as a couple, and God showing us where can we serve, mm-hmm. where is it that you want us to go, mm-hmm. and disaster relief.
So ended up kind of being that area.
My heart went back to 2005 when we were in Gulfport with Hurricane Katrina, and I thought, let's pursue this. You know, let's sign up to do that again. So we went in and we re-registered because our information was a little bit out of date, and we started going. The first deployment we did after we re-registered and signed up, we went to the Bahamas for Hurricane Dorian.
Now, there's a lot of people thinking, yeah, let me sign up for that trip.
Yeah.
But it's
right.
not fun and games
it
what
is
you
not.
Guys are doing. Yeah.
It is not.
Not when you boat into an island that's totally destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
there's
not a tree taller than 3 foot tall.
And there's no children. They were all evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot lacking in that island life. Mm-hmm. And it's not a vacation for sure.
Right.
But we did two tours there in back-to-back in the Bahamas. Call it mud outs when you clean out something that's been flooded, but this was a sand out because those 12-foot waves carried a lot of sand into all the homes that were still standing.
Mm, wow.
So we did. That was our start to going back to Samaritan's Purse and volunteering with them.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things with Samaritan's Purse. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Their priority is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Their priority is, we don't come in and have the attitude of let's get her done, let's get the job done. Their priority is let's share the hope of Jesus Christ in a time of devastation.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being their priority, for me it was freedom, mm-hmm. so that I'm able to share the word of Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings. And how do you do that? You just tell him what God's done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found doing this is people are thirsty for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I know today that people use the word, we are offended, but that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the media using that word, but the heart that people have is for the truth, and
mm-hmm.
the truth is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that we stayed, one of my main reasons for staying with Samaritan's Purse.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys just got back not very long ago from Kentucky, so
yes.
That's kind of the most recent. You got a few things between here and there, so I'll let you back up.
That's
but
okay.
So when you walk in, well, okay, let me go this direction first. Okay, So there is a difficulty that a lot of people have. Like, I want to go on a trip, disaster relief. And, mm-hmm. and that's something that's been on the minds of so many people when you have these different disasters. But there's a difference between I just want to go help serve and I am willing to get the training I need mm-hmm. to do it the right way, the yes. best way. Now, it doesn't mean yes. that everybody that goes and helps has to have formal training.
No.
But you guys decided to go ahead and take some of the steps of doing some of the training and stuff.
Actually, the way Samaritan Purse trains you is mm-hmm. you show up.
You show up. Okay.
And with Samaritan's Purse, one of the things that I like about it, we decided to use I statements because we may have different views on mm-hmm. There is not chaos.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And how does that happen? It's because we bring Jesus into it, and when you bring him into it, it takes the chaos out of it. Mm-hmm. So with Samaritan's Purse, you put in an application. They need to know, they as Samaritan's Purse need to know what you stand for. Mm-hmm. And if you stand for the biblical truths of Jesus Christ. So then when you show up on site, if you decide that you want to pull brush or do a mud out, that's fine. If you decide that you want to learn how to use a chainsaw, they will teach you that, the mm-hmm. safety. Mm-hmm. And before you start on site, Samaritan's Purse takes you through a safety training.
Mm-hmm.
There's one every morning at 7:30. There's one every day at 12:30. So if you can come in and only serve a half a day, so that would be for local volunteers. If you can only serve a half a day, you're trained on safety. The rest of your training is on the job.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
When in Samaritan's Purse volunteers, we call those in orange because they have orange T-shirts that says Samaritan's Purse. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that are called into a disaster area to give disaster relief. Mm-hmm. They're cutting trees. They're clearing brush. They're doing mud outs. They're tarping roofs. And those are the hands and feet of Jesus that come in and show people that we care. Mm-hmm. That we care what's happened to them, that we love them, and they minister to people without insurance, low-income people, widows. That's who they come in for. If a homeowner has full insurance against everything that's happened, then they don't need Samaritan's Purse help. They do need the love of Christ.
Yes.
So we come in and we do the work for them, and at the same time, the workers on site let them know that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you here? Why are you doing this?
That's our most asked question. Why would you come from all over the mm-hmm. United States to help us?
Because God loves you. We love God, and we want you to know that we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And in a time of disaster, people need to know that somebody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Started back, Barry, 2005. We went to, as I said, Gulfport, Mississippi for the hurricane relief, and we worked there. We came home in March. We went down in December, and in March of the next year, our house was hit by a tornado,
mm-hmm.
blown apart. So I know how I felt when the storm hit my home. That doesn't mean I know how a homeowner feels that has just experienced a tornado, because mm-hmm. that's their life, their situation, mm-hmm. their memories. But I do know the sounds that they describe. I do know the force of the wind that they describe. I do know the rattling of the metal when they describe that. And I can see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stand there and listen to that.
And know how to pray for them.
And know how to pray for them and know, probably more importantly of anything, what not to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would not say, I know how you feel, because I don't know how they feel.
Right.
And that is part of our training, Barry, that you mm-hmm. were talking about. We did decide to go to a conference, and they have one every year. And one of the classes that we went through is what not to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, and we've had several conversations with people here at church, you know, just in ministry in general. Helping somebody that's grieving, helping somebody that's in a disaster, helping somebody that's got a particular family issue.
Mm-hmm.
So many people don't know what to say, mm-hmm. and instead of shutting up, they just keep talking.
Yes.
But it's hard. I mean, it's mm-hmm. hard because people mm-hmm. want to say something that, mm-hmm. to help so much, but mm-hmm. it's difficult.
One of the trainings that we took that I held on to It's called WAIT. W-A-I-T.
Okay.
Why am I talking? Because when we come to minister, it's to listen. Mm-hmm. We don't have the answers.
So I just said that we refer to Samaritan's Purse as being in orange because those are the workers. So we have just moved into us now being in blue. We're chaplains with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. So from orange, we went to blue, and we did the training that Bob is just talking about. Yeah. And we are trained responders in a disaster relief situation. Mm-hmm. So more importantly than anything, like she said, what not to say, what not to do. So now we go in as chaplains. We have blue shirts on that say Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It says chaplains. And we walk up and we just give homeowners time to talk. We give them time to vent, and in return, if we can deliver them a little bit of hope and peace through the Word of God, then that's what we're there to do. Mostly listen, and mostly not say anything harmful, and just let God work there.
Not to put you on the spot, but go ahead. other than I know how you feel. Can you give me some specific examples of some other things that you're probably you should stay away from or not say?
God's in control.
Okay.
This too will pass.
Okay.
And you.
You need to pray harder.
I remember specifically when I was hit by a tornado that some people came up. They were chasing tornadoes, and they thought that was very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think so.
No.
Because I had just experienced it. And then the words came out of their mouth, "You're so lucky because that house down the road was totally destroyed." Really? How lucky was I?
Yeah.
You know? So I carry that for years now. Did. That happened in 2006.
Yeah.
I would never say how lucky somebody is that has just been hit by a tornado or a hurricane or a fire. We did the fires in Medford, Oregon. Mm-hmm. They have fires right now in Colorado.
Yes.
There was a building that collapsed in Miami. There were chaplains there. Mm-hmm. Shootings. We have chaplains that go to shootings. Mm-hmm. Someone wounded is not luckier than someone dead. I mean, you would never say that to somebody.
Yeah, boy, you're really lucky. Yeah.
And I know how you feel. You would never look at someone and say, I know how you feel. I've been hit by a tornado. I have never once told anyone when I'm on a disaster site that I was hit by a tornado because it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about them.
We're changing gears a little bit, though. But because of being in ministry and dealing with people, that one's hard for a lot of folks. Because when you are ministering to people and they share something that's happened, it's almost a natural response to try to match that. I've had something similar. Well, like you said, if I am ministering to that person doesn't need to hear my story.
No.
I think it's such an important point for people to recognize and for even me to remind myself. Yeah. I like that. Wait, why am I talking?
Right.
We might need to make that a motto.
It's a good thing to remember, most certainly. Yeah. One of the guys I've stayed in touch with after Kentucky, we find a lot of times there's a storm before the storm.
Yes.
Before that tornado hit, the family was already in trouble somehow. So this man had just undergone 5 chemo treatments. He had lymph node cancer. That was his storm before the tornado came through. Mm-hmm. And so the stuff in his yard that Samaritan's Purse was picking up and clearing out, and he was so grateful for that. Also, he felt bad because, and he said this, I used to be able to do that.
Right.
I can't do that now. So I wouldn't tell him how grateful and lucky he is that these people were cleaning up for him because he's feeling bad that he couldn't do it himself.
Yep.
So we address the how was his spiritual life? How is he looking at the cancer that he's been treated for? Mm-hmm. And we address the storm before the storm, not the tornado.
Yeah. And you don't find those things out if you don't listen to start with. You don't start asking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the question that you walk up to. How do you confront a homeowner that you're meeting for the first time? And you always say, how are you holding up?
That is the line.
How are you holding up?
Okay. So what kind of responses does that just kind of give them an opening then to go whatever direction they want to go?
It does. It's different than asking them, how are you doing? Because immediately you'll say, fine, mm-hmm. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But how are you holding up opens a different door for them.
Okay. That's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, but I get it. I get mm-hmm. what they're trying to do there.
We walked into the funeral home.
Yes, we did.
They had multiple funerals back-to-back.
In Dawson Springs.
People in the community.
In Dawson Springs, yeah.
So we just felt compelled, knowing our funeral home directors, to stop by and just see how Mrs. Brashears was.
How you holding up.
Mm-hmm. And how are you holding up? And her immediate response was, I had to bury one of my employees. Mm-hmm. And then she could talk about that. Mm-hmm. How you holding up? Not well. Mm-hmm. It was different because of an employee.
So do you think when you encounter people in these situations, because we are all kind of taught, handle your own problems,
yes.
You know, be strong, be strong for somebody else. And I'm telling you, I've heard, and we've talked about this at church, I've preached sermons on it, about mm-hmm. God won't give you more than you can handle mm-hmm. and all that kind of. So now where was I going with all that? But, you know,
Pride was my thought.
These are people that are finding out that a lot of times probably thought that I can
yes.
be strong enough to handle anything, yeah. but they are absolutely overwhelmed.
Yes.
And so how do you help people wrestle through? You don't have to be strong enough.
Okay.
Do
I'm going
to
go
this.
Out on a limb here because guys are the worst.
Okay.
They will not open up.
Right.
It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of different angles to come in, and because they have to take care of their family.
Famous.
That's what society has always told them they need to do, and they have mm-hmm. to be strong in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot easier, I think, when we come up and encounter the wife, mm-hmm. and maybe she can help him, and then it's time-consuming. It takes a lot of time, but
mm-hmm.
that's what we're there for. That's
yes.
what's what the whole mission trip is about, is to show people that God loves them and take the time to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we bounce off of each other a lot. Sometimes mm-hmm. she can get a guy to open up. She would never go one-on-one with a guy alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the ministry. But the both of us together, either, you know, she can get him, you know, on mm-hmm. more of his lighter side, and then, you know, I can help and come in. It's just,
The other thing that happens when one of us is talking to a homeowner, the other one is praying.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And yeah. God always goes before us.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Always goes before
mm-hmm.
us. We mm-hmm. we pulled up to a house one day and we jumped out of the truck and we ran up there.
He's
was anxious to encounter and get this done, and things immediately fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
It did. The encounter with the homeowner went immediately wrong. Her and I started against
each
other.
Yeah.
And so finally, I think I said, Bob, we got to go to the truck. We turned around. We went back to the truck. We got in. We closed the door. And we apologized to each other
mm-hmm.
and to God
mm-hmm.
for not putting him first.
Yeah.
We never encounter a homeowner or get out of the truck before we pray.
Right.
That
never.
Was a lesson
yeah.
well learned.
God goes before us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So He softens the hearts. He opens the doors. He gives us what to say. He is not going to send us out. And it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
It takes testing.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not going to send me out there to encounter a homeowner that needs to be ministered to without going before me and equipping me to
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask about, I'm going to go back to the pride issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we're supposed to take care of it, we're supposed to be strong enough. When you're just standing and listening to someone and you hear part of their story, I'll go to the men and I'll hear part of the story of where they were at, what was happening during the storm, and I can look at them and say, what were you thinking? What did you hear? So it gives them more of the opportunity to address their feelings
mm-hmm.
and takes away that
fear, like, yeah, you're not trying to get into some deep-seated emotional thing. You're
right.
trying to give them a
right.
chance to
right.
to share that experience.
Talk it through.
Yeah.
There's nothing that man could have done during a tornado.
Yeah, you can't slam the door shut and hold it shut and turn into a tornado.
No.
Okay, so folks that are listening, we've scared them to death with ministry right now.
Oh.
Okay,
because I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are kind of hearing that and understanding that and thinking, I could never do that.
Oh.
You know, because it seems so. You guys are, you just have a heart, and it seems to be natural for you guys to how you handle these situations. But you said something that I think a lot of people just think, well, yeah, you guys just always done that. No, you said it took you some practice. It takes the experience. It takes the willingness to try. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck in missions at any level is, I just don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can find the right words to say. No. I don't, you know, and so what do? I'll pray for the missionaries. I will give money. I'll support them. But the thought of me actually going, I think, is kind of overwhelming for a lot of people. So how would you address that? I mean, what would you try to encourage that individual? Say, look, it's we're not these super saints that just have. Well, maybe you are.
No.
Okay.
But I don't know. You see what I'm asking?
I do.
I'm going to just open myself up and lay it out here. Okay. I am totally unequipped to do that.
Yes.
Right.
I am absolutely unequipped. I know a lot of scripture. I've been in church a long time in studies. I couldn't tell you where that scripture is. A lot of times, if I'm looking for a scripture, Google helps. Because I can find, you know, where it's at. Where is that at? I can Google it and find out. Mm-hmm. My memory is not that good to maintain all of that scripture and all the addresses of that scripture in. But God doesn't want you to do that.
Mm-mm.
God wants you to show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God equips you to do that. I am so unequipped. But knowing that we have to pray before we get out of the truck, knowing that God goes before me and prepares the way, and knowing that the organization that we're volunteering with puts God first before anything else, just makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And God is so faithful in supplying everything that we need from the time we pull out of the driveway gas to get there to the time we're there and what to say and do, encounter people. In the time we come home, God is just faithful. You have to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say yes and trust him.
A couple things that we pray about also is a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I know when somebody will, if I'm with a homeowner and they'll say, can you pray for patience? I said, now, sister, what you're really asking me for is for God to give you a sense of humor. Because in life, if we get too serious and don't trust the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, a mission field can look impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I've found with going into the mission field is I have to take myself out of the eye of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what he's equipped me. And trusting each and every step of the way that he will give you the words you need. And if you don't have any, then shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Take the step and go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Fear, as we know, isn't from God. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's equipped us with. If you are fearful, well, then go ahead and step out and see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I can promise you, he won't let you down.
Mm-hmm.
God will not let you down.
Yeah. How difficult, because this is such a different kind of ministry from jail ministry in some ways. Of course, a lot of people, I mean, just run into doing a prison ministry and stuff is not the first place we would go either. But so what do you think was the biggest shift that had to happen for you guys to make that transition to jail ministry, to disaster relief, chaplaincy, however you say that? So,
well, for 20 some years, I had supported Bob in going to jail, going to prison.
Yes.
And then we shifted to my passion going to disaster relief. So now we're going, you know, the direction that I felt God leading me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of supporting her, then she's supporting me, and we're going this way. a lot of things, you know, no longer are you a ministry leader, no longer are you a worship leader, no longer are you a Bible study leader.
No.
You're pulling brush. You're running a chainsaw.
Yes.
So ministry-wise, you have really stepped down.
You clean then, toilets.
In the organization, God brings us up, and we become chaplains, and you're back into the ministry mode again. Mm-hmm. Just in a different place.
Different place, but you're also not teaching Bible studies, and you're not, you know, it's just a different thing on the ground.
Right, right.
Yeah. So let me circle back to one thing you guys said at the beginning, and then I'll let you kind of have the last word if you want the last word. But you talked about the need to go outside the walls of the church.
Yes.
Okay. And I want to make sure that people understand where you're coming from that, because that is not an anti-church statement.
No.
But that is seeing the church more as an equipping and sending place as opposed to the end game. And I think that's difficult sometimes for people to recognize. We get comfortable in the four walls. Like, this is what being the church is. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is part of it, in the worship and the coming together and the fellowship. But there has to be some reason that the early church, let's see, Paul and Silas, they didn't stay in Antioch. What did Antioch do? They sent them out. Mm-hmm. And so part of that's what you're saying then is the sending part. And that's something I think churches have to have that focus and that heart. And that's part of why we're doing some of these podcasts, is try to recognize and rebuild and re-energize and remind people this is part of what the church is going outside those walls.
So we just got back about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, from Hammond, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It was our second time there, hurricane response. One of our main priorities when we got back was come to church. Mm-hmm. We need our family. Right.
We need our support. Right.
We don't leave here without prayer support. No. We have a prayer team set up that we rely on all the time that we're gone. And then we come back to church because we need to be fed. We need to be in church.
We need
the preaching of the church. We need the teaching of the church. So our priority is to come to church when we come back so we can get filled up and get healed up. You know, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you get hurt out there. So to get healed up, that is very important that we do that. But we also think, and I believe, if everybody answers the call that God gives them, ours is to go to disaster relief. Ours is to go to prison. Mm-hmm. But that's not everybody's call.
Right.
If everybody did their call, then we'd have people ministering in church. We'd have people ministering in the local neighborhood. We would have people ministering in disaster in prisons and jails.
Orphans.
They would be where God needs them to be if they just say yes to the call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, we need people in church just as much as we need people overseas. We have passports. Have passport. We'll travel. But God hasn't called us there. So we're in the United States. But if God does, then I want to be ready to go.
That's right.
Absolutely. Anything you want to add to that?
I think he covered it well. I do want to say that I accepted Christ late into my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the urges was to go. I had many, many questions. And I knew those questions weren't going to get answered in the bar or on the street or to my neighbor. So I went to the church who is teaching the truth. And I needed to go in to Mel and say, what about this? What about that? What is faith? And be raised up with the truth of God. And you cannot, I'm going to make that a firm statement, you cannot go and serve without having your face in the Word of God daily. Mm-hmm. It isn't a hit or miss, because He can't speak to you unless your face is down in His Word. And that's the value that I find from the truth.
Okay. Well, Bobby and Rand, we could go on, because I know you have lots of other stories and experiences. Oh, yeah. But I appreciate, because part of what I want to get to is not just the experience of that, but the heart behind it. And I think you guys have done an outstanding job of sharing that and showing that. And so I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
May we do this again sometime?
Oh, yes, please.
And come back. and do stuff. But I hope our listeners will take to heart and really consider what is God's call. I don't say this glibly, but I dare you to say, God, no, I'm not going. That see how that works out. Yeah. But I'm, you know,
scared.
Because, yeah, you know how that goes. I'm just going to leave it at that. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks for having us.
Well, guys, that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Grovecast. And tune in a couple weeks. We'll have another show, and I think you'll really enjoy and appreciate some of the things that are coming up next on the Grovecast.